And just want to say a special welcome to all of our guests. Thank you for joining us today at Second Baptist, and look forward to worshiping with you today. If you're a guest, we'd love to connect with you. There's a couple ways we can do that. One, there's a card in the pew back in front of you. If you'd fill that information out, and you can leave it in the pew next to you at the end of service, or we'll have an offering as we leave. You can leave that in the offering plate. The other option is you can do this in person, or if you've joined us online, you can go to our website, sbcr.org, and there's a button that says I'm new. You can click that button and fill that information out. It's a way for us to know who's worshiping with us today and how we can serve you. Again, we're grateful that you've chosen to be here, and happy Palm Sunday. Looking forward to your worship today and just hearing from the Lord what He has for us this morning. Mention a few things to you. Obviously, next week is Easter Sunday, and really want to encourage you to take a moment and invite people to come and be with our church family to worship with you. I know that a lot of folks tend to look for church services to attend Easter weekend, and so we have our regular Sunday morning schedule next week, and so there are invite cards at the back of the room. If you'd like to take some of those and invite others to come go to church with you next weekend. And then the following week, we are planning, hoping to have some baptisms. And so if anybody's interested in or would like to discuss baptism, love to visit with you about that and talk about that next step. So anyway, grateful that you've chosen to be with us. I want to read this passage to us this morning. And as we get ready to focus our heart and mind on the Lord and what He has for us today. We refer to this week as Holy Week, or this today is Palm Sunday, as it serves to remind us over 2,000 years ago when Jesus entered into Jerusalem for that final week of here on earth, prior to the crucifixion, that is, I guess. And so this Palm Sunday, it celebrates that what we refer to as the triumphal entry. And we have that documented in various Gospels throughout the Bible, but this morning just wanted to read part of one in Matthew chapter 21. It says, "All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell the daughter of Zion, and behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. So the disciples went, did as Jesus commanded, and they brought the donkey and the colt and laid their clothes on him and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then multitudes who went before and those who followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Amen. They didn't know what they were looking for, something else. We've talked about this a lot as a church family. They're looking for a ruler and put the Jews back in prominent place of leadership. You know, they didn't fully understand. They didn't fully, many of them at least, did not fully grasp all that was going on. But nonetheless, here they are. They're worshiping Jesus, even though they may not fully get it. They're worshiping Jesus this Palm Sunday. That's why we refer it to as Palm Sunday. Sunday. And so this morning, here in a few minutes, we're going to pray and focus our heart on the Lord. And then today, that's what we want to do. We want to just worship the Lord together. And He's worthy. He is worthy of our praise. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we will begin to sing to the Lord. Jesus, You're good, and there's none like You. God, I pray that above all else, You would be exalted. Lord, thank You. Thank You for Your sacrifice. God, thank You for coming in such humility. And You deserve it all. You deserve all the praise and adoration. You deserve our best today. And so, God, I pray that You would bind away the enemy. I pray, Holy Spirit, You'd have freedom and liberty to work this morning. God, I pray that You would be exalted in every aspect of our service today. God, draw us closer to Yourself this morning. And Lord, You be glorified. God, You're good and gracious and kind. And we declare today, as they did so many years ago, Hosanna to the highest. You're worthy of praise. Lord Jesus, we love you and we praise you. We thank you for all things. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, it is good to see you this morning and to be able to worship with you. I pray that as we walk through this day, that we'll be reminded of what all this week has in store for us as we celebrate. But would you stand with me? Let's sing this hymn together, just singing about the blood of Jesus.
One can wash away my sin, nothing but the blood of Jesus. One can make me whole again, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow.
Sing that again.
Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow.
I was a wretch, I remember who I was. I was lost, I was blind, I was running out of time. Sin separated, the breach was far too wide. But from the far side of the chasm, you held me in your sight. So you made a way across the great divide, left behind heaven's throne to build it here inside. There at the cross, you paid the debt I owed, broke my chains, freed my soul. For the first time I had hope. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have. to glorious light. You took my place, laid aside my tomb of sin. You were buried for 3 days, but then you walked right out again. Now death has no sting, and life has no end. For I have been transformed by the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white.
Sing this with us.
Glory to His name.
Philippians chapter 2, a very familiar passage, but with the idea of this week and the story of Jesus, the gospel of how Jesus is entering into the city, knowing that at the end of this week he's going to lay down his life. Those around him, including his disciples, may not have understood it, but he knew exactly why he was going into the city. He knew exactly what he had come to do. Listen to this passage. It says, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, and being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." I was thinking this morning as I read this passage that God, humbling himself in the form of Jesus, because Jesus was all God, and yet when he walked on this earth, he was all human as well. And that would have been humbling enough to be wrapped in human likeness, But he humbled himself even further to be put to death, allowed to be put to death. He humbled himself to the point of being crucified. One of the most humiliating, most painful ways to die. And yet he humbled himself and allowed himself to be crucified for us. And we don't worship the cross. We worship the Savior who hung on that cross, who allowed himself to be nailed on that cross. And we know how the story ends. We already sang about it, that at the end of this week, he's going to be crucified, and we will join next week, next Sunday morning, to celebrate the resurrection. But just for a moment, the writer of Philippians says, have this attitude among yourself, that just like Jesus humbled himself, to think about the cross, because it's in that humility and the Savior that laid his life down for us where we have salvation, the opportunity to have a relationship with God Almighty. What a wonderful thing. Aren't you glad? Sad on one side that it had to happen, but so glad that it did. That we can find our glory in what happened on the cross as Jesus paid for our sin. Sing this with me.
In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my ransomed soul shall find rest beyond the river.
Sing it again.
In the cross.
Crowning. the treasure of heaven crucified. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb.
Would you stand and sing it with us?
Thank you for the cross.
Amen. If you have your Bible, and I hope that you do, Would you turn to the book of 1 Corinthians and chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. This morning I want to preach to you this message on the Lord's Supper. We will at the end of service take of the Lord's Supper this morning, and I'm looking forward to that. I've preached this text and similar to this sermon before. I bring it again today because I think it really helps set the tone for the Lord's Supper. I like to, about every 3 or 4 times or so we take up the Lord's Supper, really preach and remind us of why we do it or some important aspects of it. Last time I preached on the historical symbolism of the Lord's Supper as it relates to the Passover and Jesus being the Passover lamb. The Lord's Supper is really important in the life of a church. The Lord Jesus gave the local church 2 ordinances. One is the Lord's Supper, and the other is baptism. Let me just say, there's a lot of really, really incredible ministries that are out there. Parachurch ministries, nonprofit organizations, they're all incredible. There are a lot of them that are incredible and do really great work. But the answer to the gospel going to the ends of the world is the redeemed and a local body of believers, the local church sharing the gospel taken to the ends of the earth. I'm grateful for ministries. I'm grateful for partners that we have. But the answer to the world is what Jesus left behind, and that's the local church. And so it's so vital, it's so important that we gather as a body of believers, that we encourage, we equip one another, we strengthen one another, we love one another, and we assist and encourage one another, go out, share the gospel, invite people, all those sorts of things, because the local church is the bride of Christ. And this morning we're looking at these aspects and talking about these particulars of the Lord's Supper and trusting God to meet with us as part of one of these 2 ordinances that we are observing today. And so I want to preach this message, and it's not a fancy title, it's just the Lord's Supper. And I want to look together at this text, but if you're taking notes this morning, the main idea is this, is that God desires that we should observe the Lord's Supper to proclaim the gospel of Jesus. God desires we take of the Lord's Supper that we may proclaim the gospel of Jesus. Man, I love how we sang this morning, focused on the blood of Christ and focused on the sacrifice that the Lord Jesus has provided. Here's the reality, folks. God saved you and God redeemed you, and He left you here, and He left you that you may help build His kingdom here on earth to the extent of encouraging one another that we may share the gospel. That's why we got breath in our lungs. And so as we take of the Lord's Supper this morning, it's going to be a physical reminder of what Jesus has done for us. And so that may that be present as we take and we talk about this morning. So then the question of this the morning and of the text is this: are you ready to receive the Lord's Supper? Are you ready to receive the Lord's Supper? What we need to realize and understand this morning, we are reading through 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and being seated, obviously, in the book of 1 Corinthians. I don't know if you've read this or studied this much, but the church at Corinth must have been a Baptist church because they had some issues going on, right? They had some things happening and going on and taking place. Some of you are smiling, some of you are not smiling. I'm just kidding, okay? Anyway, I better not. I better stop there, all right? I've got other thoughts, okay? But nonetheless, they're a typical church. Anytime you get a bunch of folks together, there's going to be struggles, there's going to be issues. But they had some significant issues. And Paul would write to them We actually have evidence of him writing four letters, but only two in as a part of Scripture. And he is addressing some really serious things that are going on in the local church. All sorts of immorality and all sorts of things that are going on taking place. But then one of the other significant things that he addresses very strongly here is their taking of the Lord's Supper and all that takes place with this. And so we need to pay attention to. He's got some warnings for us, but then also he's got some admonishment for us, and there's some truths that I think we can hear and take notice of as we follow along in the text this morning. So 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we're going to begin in verse 17. So if you found your place, will you stand with me in the honor of the reading of the Word of God? I am reading out of the New King James. It could read slightly different than yours, but here it is. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17. Now in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better, but for the worst. For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and in part I believe it. For there also must be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others, and one is hungry and another is drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or what do you despise, or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Verse 27. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home. Lest you come together for judgment, and the rest I will set in order when I come. God in heaven, thank you for your word. I pray you will bless the preaching of your word. I pray, God, that you give me every word to say, nothing more, nothing less. I pray for those that don't know you, God, I pray you'd save them this morning. God, I pray for believers that are far from you or has some sin going on in their life. I pray, God, that you would convict them and give them grace to confess that and return back to you. And I pray for the saints of God, you would encourage them. Lord, I ask you to minister to them and strengthen us in today in the only way, only in the way that you can. And Lord, we love you and praise you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, there are four truths I want us to see this morning, but before we dig into those, I hope you heard the tone in which I believe Paul is writing this letter. Oftentimes, even in some of these other sections where he is correcting their behavior, he finds something to praise them about, something to encourage them about. But rather, he does not do that at all. He does the opposite. He says, "I've got nothing good to say to you regarding what's going on in the house of God, regarding the Lord's Supper." He has a strong word for them. And I don't know if you caught this or not, but those of you that are like me that are problem children, you caught this. At the very end of our section, he says this. He says, "And the rest I'll set in order when I come." Those of you who've been problem kids like me, you know what that means. You've heard that before. "Hey, son, we'll deal with this when I get home." Amen. That's going to be a long afternoon. right? You knew what was coming. I'd rather it happen right then. Some of y'all don't have the foggiest idea what I'm talking about, but some of you, I can see the light in your eyes. I know you know, all right? But he has a strong word for them. He says, hey, there's some things going on. And so they referred to these, and it's unfortunate that our culture is so corrupted, some of our language, but they referred to these as love feast, agape feast, meaning that it was supposed to so much encourage and bring together and develop family and friendships within the church, that it was to invoke love, love for one another and love for the Lord. And it's actually done the exact opposite, that they're coming together and you hear some of the language. They come together and they, some of them have gotten drunk, that they have used the occasion to satisfy desires of the flesh. Now, listen, everybody calm down. We use grape juice here, okay, all right? But in biblical days, yes, they often would use wine. And I've talked about my position on alcohol, and it's far different, et cetera, so on and so forth. But even taking of the Lord's Supper was different. Oftentimes it would be a feast. They would come together in a good old Southern Baptist potluck. They would have that. And then at the end of that, there would be literally the breaking of the bread and the passing of the cup. Amen. All right. But there were, this came a part of them observing the Lord's Supper, but some of them were so engulfed in taking of the cup that they took of the cup and they got sauced. And then others would come and they're trying to, I won't eat at home. They're going to feed me at church, or, you know, and all these sorts of things going on. Every reason, a lot of the reasons why they were doing it were so far from the intended purpose that it has just set Paul's hair on fire. And he's got a strong word for them. And so these things are going on and it's causing divisions. There's some things going on within the church where there's these cliques that are forming, that they're saying, okay, well, if you're part of this group, yeah, you can take up the Lord's Supper. If you're part of this group, you can't. And man, how ungodly that is to be in any local church, that there be groups that approve and others that do not. And listen, the foot of the cross is level, meaning that anybody can come to the Lord Jesus and repent and believe. And anybody should be able to join any local church that has surrendered their heart and life to Jesus. Yeah, there's some standards that are a part of the kingdom of God. There are some standards and some things that got to happen in an individual's life to be a part of the family of God. But we ought not be setting those standards. We ought to let the Scripture do so, and not us. And so there were some things going on. And Paul's giving them a warning, saying, hey, you better get some things together. As a matter of fact, if you notice at the end of the text, he talks about some are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. Well, sleep is a Christian way to say they're graveyard dead. I believe with all my heart, this is what the Word of God says, is that they were so sinfully taking part of this. They were so sinfully not accepting others. They were so sinfully degrading the Lord's Supper and so much a part of the church that some of them woke up dead. Some of them were sick. Many of them faced the judgment of God, how they were taking of the Lord's Supper. And so this is why when we take of the Lord's Supper, we need to do so in a way that is an attitude of reverence, an attitude of worship. It ought to be an attitude of celebration, but a celebration in what Jesus has done and not in terms of trying to satisfy our own flesh. And so as we prepare for taking of the Lord's Supper, what is the truth here that's listed in the text that we want to pay attention to or know about? So number one, there are four looks we're going to pay attention to. Number one, there is a backward look. A backward look. Notice here in the text, verses 24 and 25. Well, before I read that, I want you to 23, Paul says, I received from the Lord that which also delivered to you, Lord Jesus. And he is trying to reestablish, here's what taking of the Lord's Supper, number one, ought to be about, but number two, ought to look like. And so as he's establishing that, he's saying, hey, I'm just sharing with you what God has given me. Now, we don't know, was there this divine intervention where Paul had this encounter with Jesus and he got some instruction about how he ought to teach these churches that he's planted and helped start, how they ought to take of the Lord's Supper, or was it passed down through the apostles? We're not really sure, but he's really clear on saying, this is what the Lord has given me, and this is how the Lord's Supper ought to be observed. And so there's a backward look. Notice verse 24 and 25. He says, and when he had given thanks, this is referencing Jesus, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this, here it is, mark underline this, do this in remembrance of me. There's the backward look. There's the rear view mirror look. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it, here it is, in remembrance of me. In remembrance of me, saying as you do it, as often as you do it, you ought to do it in remembering of me. He's not setting a pattern of how many times it has to be done. We don't need to legally tie ourselves to it. It ought to be done this often, or it ought to be done this infrequently. I don't believe we have that anywhere in Scripture, but he says when you do it, as often as you do it, you ought to do it in remembrance of me. There ought to be a backward look. He's saying it so that we never forget what Jesus has done and what he has done in our lives. Do you remember this when you read through the Old Testament, you read through the book of Exodus and Moses, he's giving them some things that they ought to hold on to. And he says this to them in Exodus 13:3. He says, and Moses said to the people, remember this day in which you went out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by the strength of hand of the Lord brought you out of this place. No leavened bread shall be eaten. This is in reference to the Passover. The Passover was to remind them, it was an annual celebration to remind them of God's deliverance out of Egypt. And so then as Jesus is administering, and he is administering this supper, he's saying, as often as you do it, you ought to do it in remembrance of me. Remembering the sacrifice, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Remember that Jesus is the one that sought your soul. Remember that Jesus is the one that brought conviction to your heart. Remember Jesus is the one that was gracious enough to save you. Remember that Jesus is the one that was in the room that when the terrible news came and he gave you peace and comfort. Remember he's the one that brought healing. Remember he's the one that's walked with you through the valley of the shadow of the death, and I'll fear no evil. He says, when you do this, remember. We used to be better at remembering. I've been reading through the book of Joshua. And you remember Moses hands us all the reins of leadership, not so willingly, but reluctantly, because he had sinned against the Lord. And you remember, he says, Lord says to Moses, you're not going to lead the children of Israel into the land of promise, but your assistant Joshua will. And so Joshua leads them and they cross the Jordan, right? And you remember, God tells Joshua, hey, pick out 12 from each tribe. And what they do? They go get stones and put them in the bed of the river. They also later would set up a monument. Why was that done? It was done, it said, so that when your children ask, you tell them what God did. We used to sing a song. Here I raise my Ebenezer. Hither by thy help I've come. Oh, by thy good pleasure. Man, God's gracious to us. He's kind. And as we celebrate today, as we take of this today, it ought to be a reminder to us of what Jesus has done on the cross and how he has sacrificed both his body and shed his blood so that you and I could have salvation. The book of Deuteronomy is full of this. Remember, 23 times in the book of Deuteronomy, Moses tells the people to remember. And if the children of Israel, the Hebrews, ought to teach us anything, is that humans are quick to forget. Right? Those of you raised kids, humans are quick to forget, right? It's amazing how quickly. Well, you work hard for Christmas and save up and all those things, and man, you're fired up and kids are fired up, and somewhere, if you're lucky, about the end of January, you might still see one of those out, one of those toys or one of those, and we're just quick to forget. And so, church, we need times where we take of the Lord's Supper and remember what Jesus has done. So, number one, there's a backward look. Number two, there's an outward look. There's an outward look. So notice the text here, 1 Corinthians 11. We just read 24 and 25, so now verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, look at this, you proclaim the Lord's death. You proclaim the Lord's death. It's a proclamation gospel. It's a gotta tell gospel. It's not one that we take and we keep and we hold in and we just hope others stumble along the way and find it, although that's what most Christians do. Most Christians will never get to a point where they share the gospel with anybody. But dear friend, can I tell you, that is falling into the enemy's trap. That the Lord Jesus saved you and He redeemed you and He's cleaned you up and He set your feet on a solid foundation. Why? So that you and I may tell a lost and dying world that they don't have to go to hell. They don't have to travel this life alone. But there's one that sticks closer than a brother. There is one who can redeem you. There is one who can save you. And so as we take of the Lord's Supper, it is to proclaim the Lord's death. And He's used the Lord's death. He's not just talking about that on Friday Jesus died on the cross, but He's also talking about Sunday when He got up out of the grave. I know it's not Easter yet, but we'll go ahead and celebrate resurrection today, okay? He said, you proclaim the Lord's death. As we gather today, it could be, and some of you have experienced this as parents and grandparents, and we're going to talk about who the Lord's Supper is for. The Lord's Supper is for those who have genuinely been saved and born again. Those who are walking in obedience. I'll talk about this a little bit more. But some of you, as you raise little children in church and they've not yet gotten to the point where they understand that they're ready to make the decision. And little boys and little girls want to take of the Lord's Supper. And I tell parents, hey, this is a great time for you to have a conversation with them after church. Hey, this is why some people don't take of the Lord's Supper, is because they've never been saved. And man, this is for those who know Christ. And it's a reminder of what God has done, but it's a reminder that this is a go and tell gospel. Adrian Rogers said it this way, said that Jesus has saved us to be fishers of men, not keepers of the aquarium. I like that. Adrian Rogers was a good preacher. He was a good wordsmith. But He's made you a fisher of men and not keeper of the aquarium. The proclamation here in this context is more about the idea of proclamation by action rather than speaking. But let me tell you this, those who say that we need to be there for a while was a famous line, share the gospel and sometimes open up your mouth. Meaning the idea is that we need to live out the gospel and every now and then we tell others about it. I've got a lot of opinions about that. Let me tell you this, we need to do both. We need to live out our faith day in and day out. We need to be a Monday through Saturday Christians and believers and live out our faith and make it clear why that Jesus has changed our heart and life. Secondly, or also as a part of that, the only way I know to share most often is to open up our mouth and actually tell somebody what Jesus has done. And so there's this proclamation. Do you remember Acts 1:8 that Jesus gives this before He ascends into heaven? Says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And look at this, you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. You shall be witnesses. It's not optional. Jesus doesn't save and make a couple different kinds of Christians. He doesn't make one who's supposed to be a fisher of men and one who's just man supposed to be a good person and live out their life and love the church and love others, but never really worried about telling others about Jesus. He doesn't make two types of Christians. He only makes one. The disciples, the ones that He called, He said, hey, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. When Jesus saved you, that's what he called us to. At the point of salvation, you became a witness for him. And so, there's a backward look, there's an outward look, and number three, there's an upward look. There's an upward look. Notice again in verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death, look at this, till he comes. Till he comes. There's coming a day when the Lord Jesus is going to return. Or he'll call us home. We'll draw our last breath. And I get it. Some are young, and man, as a young man, it was hard for me to fully understand how folks begin to get homesick for that. And a little bit longer that I live, I begin to understand, man, it's hard to see and understand the direction this world is going in. Seems to be increasingly more ungodly and ungodly. And I've been around a lot of godly saints who are homesick. They begin to long for heaven more and more. And what Paul's writing here, what he's telling them, saying we need to remember, proclaim the Lord's death. But he's given us a due date. He's given us so long to get our chores done, if you will. And how long is that till he comes? So that means this morning, as long as you still got breath in your lungs, I think most everybody still does, but you got a pulse, okay? I know you've been sitting down a little bit, the heart rate's slowing down a little. But you got a pulse, you got breath in your lungs. You have a purpose on this planet. You've got a purpose. It looks a little different, it sounds a little different for every one of us. But you have a purpose. And he says, as you take of the Lord's Supper, it's a reminder of what God has done. It's a gospel in which we proclaim, but it's also an opportunity where we look forward to the day Jesus returns. Jesus promised us this, that he would one day return. John 14:3, he says, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus has gone to finish the work in heaven for us. Therefore, we must be faithful to the work that he has left us to do. Man, there's going to come a day. There's going to come a time when maybe we will be completely interrupted. We'll be going about everyday life and just doing what God has called us to do. Lord willing, found faithful with our hand at the plow. And the beauty of celebrating today and the beauty of celebrating next Sunday is that when Jesus died on the cross and he was raised from the grave, he conquered death, hell, and the grave, and he ascends into heaven. And the beauty of that is a reminder that the story is not over and it's not done. And that one day Jesus is going to return. One day there's going to be an angel shout. There's going to be the sound of a trumpet. And the Lord Jesus will return. And the Bible says those who have died, who have gone on, will be raised up and they will join the Lord. And those who remain, that's us if we're still alive, will remain, go and be with him. And the Bible says this. This is my favorite phrase in the entire passage. Thus we shall always be with the Lord. Thus, we shall always be with the Lord. See, Christians, we ought to live with a little bit of tension in our life. Not tension as stress, but tension as if we're caught a little bit between two worlds. That full on, man, God has left us here. We're here. We have breath in our lungs. We have a sound mind. We have ability to do what God has called us to do. But there is a little bit of peek into eternity going, man, I can't wait. That's what he's saying. He's saying, man, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes, till the Lord returns. There's a backward look, there's an outward look, and then there's an upward look. And then finally, number four, there's an inward look. We need to look within. So again, let's notice the text, verses 27 on down. He's saying, because of this, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner. Hit pause. If he says that you can do it in an unworthy manner, it means we need to be worthy. Okay? Now, we're going to talk about this. It does not mean worthy as if I'm a good enough person or I've somehow deserved this or earned this. That's not the idea here. The idea is that Jesus has done some things in your life and you'd allowed him to do some things in your life that you may be ready to take of the Lord's Supper. So he says, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Verse 28, here's the warning. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Let a man examine himself. There's the inward look. What's the idea then? The idea is this, is that you and I this morning, and hopefully maybe already, but if not in the next few moments, we need to have a spiritual inventory. And we need to check the dash of our spiritual life to see if there's any check engine lights on. We need to plug the computer in to see if there's any error codes, anything's going on in our life. What do you mean, preacher? We need to ask the Holy Spirit to take the bright flashlight of His conviction and His knowledge and His wisdom and His power to shine into the deep, dark crevices of our heart and ask Him, is there any unknown or unconfessed sin in my life? Well, preacher, we were getting along just fine till then. I know. Man, it's prime gardening season, right? Just getting right up to it. I know everybody waits till Good Friday usually to plant. But before very long, what will happen? Those plants will start to sprout, but also those weeds will start to rear their ugly head. And you know what? You can go through and just cut the tops off those things, and it feels, you know, it may look better for a little bit, but it's not until you get down and get the roots and just pull them out. Rarely is it easy, depending on the weed, depending on how long it's been let go. And every now and then, if you're not careful, it'll pull some good things up with it because it's costly. Sin is the same way. Even as a believer, did you know even as a believer, you can let sin get in your heart and in your life? And if you let it go unconfessed or undealt with, and you'll begin to get callous about it, you'll let excuses, you'll get defensive about it, or you'll get deceived about it and think, man, nobody really knows, it's not bothering anybody else. Well, it is. This is why Paul's so upset. Paul's so upset because the sin going on in their lives is affecting other people within the church, the family of God. These agape feasts have actually turned to where it's creating significant issues within the church. And church, I'm just telling you that sin in your life or in my life, it really is hindering others. Because as long as that sin's in our heart and in our life, we can't fulfill all that God has for us individually. And if I can't fulfill all that God has for me individually, then I can't be all that God wants me to be within the body of Christ. And you start multiplying that out, and it becomes an issue. Examine yourself literally means put to test the genuineness of yourself. 2 Corinthians 13:5, Paul would write this again. He said, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you unless you are disqualified? In this context, he's writing saying you need to know whether you're in the faith or not. Listen, I understand, man, folks can fill a pew for a really long time and convince themselves they're spiritually fine, or they trust in some decision that they made as years ago or whatever the case may be, but it's never made an ounce of difference in their heart and in their life. Dear friend, I want to encourage you to examine, man, am I really saved? Do I really know the Lord? But the beauty is this, 1 John chapter 1, 8 and 9. If you don't have 1 John 1, 9, 8 and 9 really, but verse 9 memorized, I want to encourage you to do so. But it says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So Paul says, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. He gives the warning, for if he eats and drinks in an unworthy manner, he eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And so what's he saying? He's saying, hey, I want you to get right. Sometimes the tendency is going, well, I'm not right, so I'm not going to partake. And listen, you know, you got to figure out that whole thing for yourself. But my encouragement to you as your pastor is, let's take a moment and examine to see what God is, what's in our heart and our life. What do we need to confess so that we may be right, so that we can take of the Lord's Supper and celebrate all that God has done. And so, dear friend, we're going to have a time of response. And the time is this. The call to response is this. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, if you've never surrendered your life to Him, today is the day of salvation. And for those of you that do know Christ, I challenge you, I beg you, I urge you this morning. During our time of invitation, you bow your head, close your eyes, and ask God, God, is there any unconfessed, unrepentant sin in my life that maybe I know about or maybe that I don't even know about? I'm going to invite you here in a few minutes, come get on this altar, pray that, and then just be quiet for a moment and see if the Spirit of God shows you anything. And if He shows you something, God, forgive me. You're right. That sin, I confess that to you and ask you to forgive me. 1 John 1, 9 says, if you confess your sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's a promise. So that's the invitation today. I'm going to ask if you'll bow your head and close your eyes. First part of the invitation, if you don't know Christ, surrender your life to Him. Call out to Him right where you're at. Ask Him to forgive you of your sins and be the boss of your life. Ask Him to be Lord over all. Tell Him you believe that He was born of a virgin. He died on the cross. He's the Son of God. He was raised from the grave. And He offers salvation to any who believe. Ask Him to save you. And you pray and you mean it with all your heart, and the Bible says God will save you. And here in a moment, if you prayed that, if you're praying now asking Him to save you, I'm going to invite you to come and meet me down front and say, Pastor Chris, I asked Jesus to save me today and I'm not ashamed. For the rest of us that know Christ, let's take a moment of self-examination. Really, spirit examination. Let the Spirit of God examine us. God in heaven, I pray in this moment that we would respond to You in obedience. I pray, God, for those that surrendered their heart and life to You today for salvation, I pray You give them boldness to come. And God, I pray for believers, God, we have a moment of allowing You, Spirit of God, to work in our heart and our life. God, that we'd just be open, honest, bare before you. Lord, you would work and restore us. I pray in Jesus' name. If God spoke to your heart and you want to come and get on this altar and just spend a few moments reflecting on what God's doing in your heart and your life, maybe you got somebody you want to pray for, I'm going to invite you. You come on now. Man, if God dealing with your heart about salvation, you come. However the Lord leads you, you respond to Him. You come on.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me.
Would you stand and sing this verse with us?
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you.
To close our time with taking of the Lord's Supper, I'm going to invite our men to come and help take up or help serve the Lord's Supper as they come. Let me just share with you, I won't go into length, but obviously you've heard me share about who this is for. They come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, follow the Lord in believer's baptism, and are a member of a church of like faith and order. You don't have to be a member of this church to take of the Lord's Supper. But you do need to be a member of a church. I think those are just some basic things that a believer needs to be following as they follow the Lord Jesus. And so, anyway, that is who the Lord's Supper is for. And so, what we're going to do, we're going to pray for this time, and then we are going to pass out both the cup and the bread at the same time, and then we'll come back and we will take those together. So let me lead us in prayer, and then we will go from there. God in heaven, I thank you for today. Thank you for your sacrifice. And God, I pray in this moment that God, yes, it would be a time of reference, but it would be a time of celebration and just thanking you and honoring you and worshiping you for your sacrifice, for all that you've done, for your salvation, not for just us only, but for the sins of the world. And we love you and praise you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to give you a plate to eat. I'm going to give you a bread plate too. Okay. Yep. I don't know if we've gotten our extra people. Did we get nursery and some of that?
I didn't.
Okay. The Bible says that Jesus blessed it and broke it. Let me pray for us. God.